What is up, you fantasy freaks and geeks? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. I'm your host, James Coe, joined alongside Hall of Famer, Fabulous One, Michael Fabiano, MG, Marcus Grant, and the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. Got a big show in front of us. Tons of stuff happening in the world of the NFL. We're going to get to that.
Something happened in the NFL?
Just a couple of things. Hmm. Maybe the top trending thing on Twitter. That's just about it. Don't worry about that.
That was a slow day.
We're going to be talking. Lamar Miller, Pittsburgh's Martavis Bryant. We're going to get to some of your mailbag questions as well. And we're debuting a brand new little dealio here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We're calling it the Daily Daps. It's basically us giving daps or props to anything in the world, man. Just doesn't have to be fantasy related. It could be pop culture, movies, books, music, television shows. I'm excited to see what the Daily Daps will be. For Marcus Grant, Alex Gelhar, and Fabs, you're going to have to leave us early here, huh, pal?
Yeah, well, we got started a little late today, and I've got to go and...
Thanks a lot, Damashek. Thanks for nothing, pal.
I love Damashek.
Hey, he had to win his own award, which you can all watch about on NFL Now and other platforms.
Good. So basically, I got to scram.
All right.
What happens when you're the Hall of Famer? You're in high demand around
exactly. Oh, here. So we will get this podcast going with our very top headlines for the day. Sully, fire it up, my man. All right, we start in New England, where NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has upheld Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's four-game suspension for violating the league's policy on integrity of the game. The saga likely to continue as NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Tuesday that Brady will sue. Brady's camp will seek an injunction on the suspension to try to keep Brady on the field. It basically becomes an if and when. If the injunction is upheld by a federal court, the NFL will have no choice but to allow Brady to continue on playing as this thing is played out in court. If at some point during the season Brady's appeal is not held up, well, he's going to have to serve that four-game suspension. So if and when is what I'm saying here. Four-game ban. What does it mean fantasy-wise? Marcus Grant, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, I had him when we first heard about the four-game suspension. Seems like a lifetime ago at this point. I moved him down out of the top 10. I dropped him to 13. And I haven't really moved him at this point. I mean, I feel like nothing has changed except that we know now that it looks like he's going to be gone for four games. I'm kind of discounting whatever may happen in the court system because who really knows about that. But you know, he's a guy that still has a ton of value. I mean, he's a guy you're going to draft. He's a guy you can't really ignore. But you know that you're going to miss, you know, almost half of the fantasy regular season while waiting for him to come back. So in that respect, you're going to go out and you're going to get yourself a quarterback that you know you can start for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. Then you bring in Tom Brady. It's almost like stashing a first round, not a first round, but it's like stashing a QB1 in your back pocket. But, you know, right now he's just sitting just outside of my top 10.
Can I say this? Tom Brady, look, again, we don't know what's going to happen with the injunction. I hate to speculate on that. That's way beyond my pay grade. But I will say this. If he does serve the four-game suspension, Wiz, how much does the offense change? Does that add value to a guy like LeGarrette Blount, for example?
Well, let's not forget he's also suspended for
the
first game.
So you're looking at a Patriots backfield in week one that will have – maybe Jonas Gray and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow.
Not exactly a Super Bowl contending
star-studded
offense.
Holy cow. But no, but I mean, but like I said, no matter what happens, if Tom Brady serves that four-game suspension, does it add value? Okay, then I'll change it to the Patriots running game.
I don't know that the Patriots are going to change much.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has had issues in the past where his quarterback's gone down, Brady went out for the entire season.
The glorious Matt Cassel era.
Right. And he came in and won, what,
10 games?
10 games.
They made the playoffs again.
He was a pretty decent fantasy quarterback.
Sure.
You can remember back to actually when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, hit by Mo Lewis. Brady comes in. No one knows who he is. I remember speculating that I didn't think Tom Brady was worth picking up off the waiver wire at that point. And maybe he wasn't immediately, but boy, has he been pretty good both on the field and from a fantasy perspective.
That's the funny part, is that his first few seasons as a starter, he wasn't much of a fantasy quarterback.
No,
he was a Troy Aikman type.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't, but...
I mean, what are we talking? We were talking like 3,200, 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns.
Obviously, they were winning. They were winning, and they were successful on the field. But from a fantasy perspective, it was
not great.
I'm using Brady's suspension to my advantage because, well, I shouldn't tell you guys this because we're.
You've already told us. We know how this works.
Just like in the PPR draft that we're going to talk about. I mean, I'm going to use this, and I'm going to draft him in the 10th round or 11th round. I'll sit on him for the first 5 weeks because remember they have a bye, so he can't come back until they play the Colts. And then I've got one of the 10 best quarterbacks in fantasy football for the rest of my season. The position's deep. Yep. I can go ahead and play the matchups the first 4 weeks. Or I got Cam Newton in the mock draft. I'll play him for the first four games. Or you could get Romo and Brady. You can get Roethlisberger and Brady. You can get Ryan and Brady. You could play the matchups if you're in a deeper league.
All right,
maybe you
go
Bridgewater.
All right, we get it.
That's what I'm saying. Just use it.
Gelhar, let me ask you this though: when Tom Brady, or if and when he serves that suspension, does it hurt a guy like Rob Gronkowski?
You would think it might drop him a little bit, but also. Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to not be a fool, and Belichick and his offensive coordinator, McDaniels, are going to make sure he knows where to put the ball, and that's going to be in Gronk's hands because they're still going to need that offense to be successful and move the chains, and he's the best matchup advantage they have on that offense. So I don't think it should drop him that much. If anything, he should stay right where he is, basically, ADP-wise.
The next headline comes out of Pittsburgh. I guess Pittsburgh-ish. Where's their training camp?
Latrobe,
Pennsylvania. Le'Veon Bell had his suspension reduced from 3 games to 2 games. Does this move him up, let's say, one spot in your draft board? Could an argument be made that he should be the number one player selected in fantasy drafts?
Heck yeah.
Yep.
He is my number one guy now.
Oh, wow.
I love Peterson. I'll take him number two all day long.
Okay.
But 2 games, I'll make up for my with my replacement players, and I'll have Le'Veon for 14 weeks, which would include me going to the championship.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, look, I'm down with that, too.
Okay.
I mean, we all kind of thought that before the suspension, he was the consensus number one overall player. Then the suspension happened, and we kind of waffled. But even then, I don't think I ever had him anything lower than 3 at any one point.
Right.
Now he's back up to number one for me. I think the only thing about it is if you draft Le'Veon Bell at number one, which is perfectly reasonable, that means you may have to reach a little earlier for D'Angelo Williams. Just to, one, get that handcuff, but also get the guy you know is going to start the first couple weeks of the season. But
pretty solid handcuff, too.
I'm okay with that.
Let me give you a little stat here. So if you basically look at the numbers that he averaged from a fantasy standpoint last year.
That was a beast.
And you multiply him by 14 games, he's the fourth best running back last year with more fantasy points than Matt Forte.
Last year he had 2,200 total yards, 11 total touchdowns. The guy was an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in PPR, the guy's just an absolute game changer. He had 850 receiving yards last year. That's crazy.
Has just got a shot to more explosive.
Because of Martavis Bryant,
yes.
Actually helped spark Bell later in the season. The great Evan Silva at RotoWorld tweeted earlier today when everybody was firing off on the Bell news amidst the Brady news that Bell averaged 26.8 PPR points per game from week 7 on
last
season.
That is insane.
That's when Martavis Bryant came into the lineup.
That's not even fair.
That offense should be humming when he comes back. He's going to be fresh, and I don't think there's any reason to not take him number one overall.
By the way,
like either format.
You talk about Le'Veon Bell and the 850 receiving yards he had last year. I'm just going to say that the leading receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs was Travis Kelce with 862. So there you go.
Oh, and he had more receiving touchdowns than all of the
Kansas Chiefs wide receivers.
Yeah. With one. He had one receiving touchdown last year. We're talking about Le'Veon Bell. I mean, look, is he number one? I love him. I mean, he's a great player and a great offense, but I'm surprised to hear you guys so gung-ho about him because I remember on this very podcast last week, I thought we were talking about Adrian Peterson being number one. The one-game reduction in the suspension, that really just boosts him up the draft board that much?
I think, but also I just think I think it's...
Well, yeah,
It's the certainty. It's just knowing now what it's going to be.
And true.
You know, I think that thing just kind of hanging out there made it a little uncertain. Now you know, and you can just move on with
you. You also have to remember, too, I mean, Peterson played 14 games in 2013. missed four games in 2011, missed a game in 2010. So at the end of the day,
assuming
Bell
stays
healthy, well, he gets nicked up a little bit. He'll miss a game or two. So at the end of the day, Bell and Peterson could end up starting the same number of games.
Oh, man. Wiz, can you talk me into Eddie Lacy as a number one?
If you want to go safe, because I think he's got one of the highest floors in that offense, he's going to get his 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's probably not going to win you as many weeks as somebody like Le'Veon Bell or Adrian Peterson.
Right.
But, and funny enough, I mentioned that Evan Silva stat before. You know who was number two in PPR during that same span? Eddie Lacy.
I'm going to assume Eddie Lacy.
So.
All right, there you go. I go to the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin for my Green Bay, Wisconsin stats. I like it. All right, let's go to St. Louis. Todd Gurley, this is amazing. Todd Gurley is avoiding the PUP list. He's going to open camp on the active roster. Most everybody expected the Georgia product to start the season on some kind of inactive list. I mean, maybe missing up to maybe even six games. But that may still be the case, but not likely, because the news suggests we may see Todd Gurley in week one. Choo-choo. Get on the hype train, baby.
From your lips to God's ears.
Choo-choo. Get on the hype train. There it is. That's the Todd Gurley hype train, folks. Get on or get off.
Is that the Snowpiercer?
Great. By the way,
I hope not.
Snowpiercer.
You didn't like that movie?
No, I did. I liked the movie. I don't want Todd Gurley to be on the train. I want him to be in a cushy first-class train.
He'd run right through all the cars in that, right to a touchdown.
Snowpiercer.
Me?
If you guys haven't seen
Snowpiercer. Weird movie, but very good.
Super weird movie.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say watch the movie. I don't know why I didn't get the pub. Actually, I do know the story.
Hey, Captain America's in that
movie.
Chris
Evans is in there. Absolutely. It's a great movie. Should have been marketed more, but for reasons beyond our understanding, it was not. But we move on. All right, so Todd Gurley. Where does this move him up now? Because we've seen Todd Gurley go early. We've seen him go late. I would imagine this solidifies him as somewhere in the top five rounds, rather.
Sure.
Does he move into rarefied air? Does he become a third round draft pick?
You really need to wait and see what happens during training camp. How he's utilized? Does he actually play in a preseason game?
Where we stand today, Fabs. Enough waffling, my man. We don't got fried chicken here. I
want to
know today.
It's July.
If you have
I'm gonna waffle a whole lot between now and September.
If you have a draft tomorrow, and we're telling the people, where do you take Todd?
Fifth round. Yes,
Marcus Grant.
Ooh, yeah. I guess I got to go five or six. I don't think about it because I have Gurley currently sitting at number 23, but if you know he really is going to start the year on the active roster, I got to move him up. I mean, I was kind of believing that Trey Mason still had a little bit of life and a little bit of value, and maybe he still does the first few weeks, but if Gurley is going to be there from the jump, then it changes things drastically.
Gilhar?
Same for me. Once the news
fifth round?
Once this news came out, yeah, I'd be comfortable in the fifth. That might even reach a tad higher. I bumped him up to my RB19 right now, and I might even push him higher once we see, like Fab said, what happens in the preseason, things like that. But in other types of leagues, and if you're drafting soon, the guy's got crazy talent. And this month will actually be, I was looking into it, 9 months he'll be removed from like his surgery, which is about the same timetable Adrian Peterson was on when he came back in.
Lofty goals right there. Lofty goals. On the flip side of the coin, Trey Mason, how far does he fall?
Well, I mean, Mason, even before we knew that Gurley had a shot to be ready for week one, wasn't being drafted until the double-digit rounds.
Yeesh.
So that's not going to improve.
No,
now.
It will not.
He's really, even before we knew this, he was really just a handcuff if you had Gurley.
Yeah, he was probably.
He really was.
The most high-profile handcuff.
Good player. Showed some explosion last year.
Absolutely.
A little bit of an issue as a pass blocker, but got better as the season wore on. And now he just ends up being in the enviable space that he's in. They drafted who they think, if there's a such thing as a franchise running back, the Rams see Gurley as that franchise running back.
Speaking of running backs, let's go to Miami. Could there be a bigger role for Lamar Miller in the MIA? Dolphins coach Joe Philbin said he's comfortable with giving Miller more of a workhorse role in 2015. Miller, how about this? Entering the final year of his contract, and as a result, he also put on 15 pounds of muscle this offseason. If this doesn't sound like a page out of the Mark Ingram playbook, I don't know what does. What do we expect from Lamar Miller next year?
Well, remember, Miller, he didn't get a lot of carries last year. He didn't have a lot. He just had over 200. So
still in the top 15,
so
though,
he's making hay.
Yeah, he never
That's
had,
what I'm saying.
He never
he's
had more than 19 in a game last season.
Based on a smaller amount of touches per game, Jay Ajayi comes in, and people will speculate that he could come in and steal goal line work or steal some carries. And I mean, that's possible, but Miller still seems to me at least to be as close to a featured back as you're going to get in Miami. And adding on a little bit of weight certainly will help him, I believe, in terms of durability and running between the tackles as well. Hopefully it doesn't sap any of that speed that he has.
This sounds like a guy who's looking over his shoulder at Jay Ajayi sitting
right.
there and
yeah.
like, hey,
right.
somebody's coming for my gig right now.
It's also a guy who's trying to secure his gig next year.
No, like, you're right.
He's in a contract
which
year.
Wouldn't surprise
and he's like 23,
if
so
the,
young.
The Dolphins have never like really put their chips behind Miller. They didn't,
no.
You know, they've kind of, like you said, they never give him the carries. No. He hasn't been, you don't hear the glowing praise. For
I had my
players.
Chips behind him 2 years ago, and I was a year too early.
You were a little year too soon. You were a little
but,
bit too soon.
Darn it.
My point being, this seems to potentially have the fingerprints of a Dallas DeMarco situation where they're like, wow, we have this great running back who we're not going to want to pay next year. Let's just ride him into the
Let's
ground.
Wear him out.
And then kick him out the door. So if you're going to be able to get Lamar Miller as an RB2 and, you know, he had good production last year and bank on maybe that he's going to get a DeMarco Murray, not like 500 outrageous touches or whatever DeMarco Murray had, but, you know, if he sees a big uptick, like 150 extra touches could be huge in fantasy.
Alex Gelhar would be the most ruthless real-life GM.
I would not want to do that to my players. I'm just reading the tea leaves.
Ruthless. Man, 1,100 yards last year, 8 touchdowns. More than 5 yards a carry.
That's crazy. I mean, it's funny because we start doing research for the season and looking at things. And, you know, I was looking at the Dolphins and looking at Lamar Miller. And at some point in the spring, I looked and I said, wait a minute. Lamar Miller was a number 9 fantasy running back. I mean, that was kind of the thing. And you start telling people that. And it's kind of the same reaction like, no, he wasn't. No, and you look it up, you're like, I swear to you, he was. And it just you look at his track record with the Dolphins, now entering his fourth year, it's almost like I think Miami tried to rush him a little too much. And we all bought in, you know, about how he could be so great his rookie year. And obviously that didn't happen. Then he got a little bit better his second year. And then last year was
I mean,
fantastic.
He was fighting off guys like Daniel Thomas, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but I mean, you just wonder whether or not, you know, he had to adjust. He had that learning curve. And we saw it with Mark Ingram, where it took him a few years to finally become the guy we thought he would be coming out of Alabama. And now I get the sense that Lamar Miller is kind of headed that way. So, you know, I don't put necessarily a lot into guys bulking up and getting bigger. Every year we hear about guys in their training regimen. I'm still bitter about Lindale White and his, I'm not drinking tequila anymore. so that part I don't necessarily buy into. But
remember when Lindale White was actually useful in fantasy?
1 year when he fell into the end zone 10 times.
Exactly. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yep.
One more thing about Lamar Miller, you mentioned it because you said he was number 9 in fantasy and you're like, wow, I can't remember that. Do you guys, and this is, I feel like I'm drawing and connecting dots like the terrible detectives in True Detective right
okay.
now. But to make my DeMarco Murray comparison again, do you remember where he finished in 2013?
DeMarco Murray?
Among running backs.
In 2013?
2013.
I'm going to go 9th.
He had a pretty good year.
Seventh.
A pretty good year.
He was 7th, actually, which people forget. So there you go. That's my analysis.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he missed a few games that season,
too. He only
played
14.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the contract year thing is real, man. It's real.
Well,
and he is. He's in a contract year. He had 215 carries last year. You might be saying to yourself, "Well, how many more carries can he possibly have?" I'm not exactly sure, but I will say this: he finished in the top 15 last year in terms of carries, so just outside the top 10. You know who had more carries than him? I was shocked by this. At 216 carries, Andre Williams, New York
really?
Giants, 200. So that it does speak to. It does speak to
By the way, did you see a picture of Andre Williams lately?
No. Is he yoked?
Oh, my gosh. Dude,
he's yoked?
Jacked.
All right. Okay.
Jacked.
Okay.
Makes me embarrassed to be a man.
Well, Don't look at pictures of Adrian Peterson.
it's even worse.
All right, there you go.
Or so, like Bryant, right? He's got like 4% body fat now.
We're about
to jump to him.
Yeah.
So again, the verdict, Lamar Miller, contract year, 15 pounds of muscle, might get more carries, could be a very interesting player, could really pay dividends given his price tag.
One more thing about him getting more carries, then we can move on. Bill Lazor, disciple of Chip Kelly, they ran a lot of plays last year. Wouldn't be surprised if in a more efficient offense that play total drives up again, giving more opportunities for Miller and others.
Might be a very good point. All right, speaking of, you mentioned that stud young second-year wide receiver, Martavis Bryant. He looks, quote, amazing in camp so far. Bryant told NFL Media's Albert Breer on Monday that he added 20 pounds of muscle to his 6'4" frame, so he's 225 pounds. I'm calling him Starscream because he is he's baby Megatron out there, baby. 6'4", 225, are you kidding me? The guy's unbelievable. This is a quote. We threw him a lot of deep passes last year. This is Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. This is what he told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ben Roethlisberger said, we threw Martavis Bryant a lot of deep passes. That was kind of his go-to catch. But now we can throw it to him in all areas. That is scary. How high is this dude's ADP going to climb?
Well, first off, Starscream was a terrible teammate because he was always trying to undermine Megatron at every turn.
And wait,
I was going to make that analogy. Now, hopefully he doesn't undermine us like he undermined Megatron.
Who ended up whacking Starscream in one of the Transformers movies? Did Megatron get...
Are we talking about those terrible Michael Bay films?
I blacked
You know what?
Out.
I actually liked the first one.
I thought we were talking about the old animated one.
That's what we were talking about. That's what I was talking about.
I think he's going to go really high, and every single day his ADP goes up a little bit more.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like when you buy a new car, and you never see that car on the road until the moment you're driving it, and then it's everywhere. Like the moment one or two people started talking about Martavis Bryant, it was like it caught on like wildfire. And I think he's a guy who's going to move up. I mean, he's going to be a guy that you see probably coming off the board in like the fourth or fifth round just because I think the talk has gotten so much about him. And now if we get to preseason, if he does anything at all in the preseason, it's going to be off the chart.
What's his ADP right now?
Round 14 on NFL.com, which makes no sense to me at all.
No sense. So where does he go?
If we look at the PPR mock, jump ahead a bit, I got him in round 7.
Which I think is legit. I think that's about right. But I just think it's going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm. He's 6'4". 225. At the combine, he ran a 4.440. How many 6'4 dudes can run a 4.440? He was unbelievable. 10 games last year. He had 550 yards. Doesn't sound like a lot, but he had 8 touchdowns, man.
He didn't have a lot of catches, didn't have a lot of yards. I mean, honestly, he didn't have a whole bunch of fantasy points. He's an explosive player who Ben Roethlisberger can look to in the vertical passing game. And an interesting point, there's a column that will come out this week on Friday that I wrote basically projecting targets and touches for wide receivers and looking at how offensive coordinators have used wide receivers during the course of their careers. And if you look back at Todd Haley and the way that he's used wide receivers, I'm looking it up right now, wide receivers have had a lot of success. When he was in Arizona, Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald were almost always in the top 20 in fantasy points among wide receivers. Fitzgerald finished number one twice under Todd Haley. Last year, Antonio Brown finished number one in fantasy points under Todd Haley. So there is certainly room for Bryant to move into that top 20 among wide receivers in 2015.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Marshall 1100. We're doing it.
Here it is.
That's it?
There it is.
We're in. All right.
There it is.
All right.
We're in. Marshall 1100.
Nah, I don't know. He might.
I don't think it's crazy at all.
No, here's the thing.
I'm tweeting this out, so you better.
Hold on now. Let me give you some details here. Marshall 1100, as we know, last year it was a high heels deal. If DeAndre Hopkins, I was so on board with DeAndre Hopkins. Clemson as well.
Yes.
Are both these guys Clemson guys?
Yes.
I was so on board with DeAndre Hopkins. I said, hey, look, if he doesn't get to 1100 yards, I'll come on the show, wear high heels. Obviously, he got to 1200 something. We ended up having Adam Rank wear high heels, whatever it was. Martavis Bryant, I get it. A lot of people are going to say, Coe's playing it safe this year. So I'm going to make it a little bit more spicy.
1300.
No.
12.
I gotta keep the hashtag, right? Hashtag March to 11.
Wait, spicy?
It's gonna get a little spicy.
We don't want to see you in lingerie.
No. Here's the deal. It's going to be Martavis Bryant versus the Cleveland starting wide receivers of Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline first to 1100.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Dwayne Bowe plus Brian Hartline.
Interesting.
What if they don't get to 1,100?
If no one gets
right. I mean, the Cleveland Browns wide receivers might not get to 1,100 yards.
By the way, Brian Hartline, I looked this up. Brian Hartline and Dwayne Bowe last year combined for 1,200 yards.
All right. It's not good.
I like this.
All right, so let me get this out and documented on Twitter once it's on social media,
it's coming out.
It's done. So you're going
March
1,100
is back
with
Martavis
Bryant versus
Dwayne Bowe,
the Browns
plus Brian.
Wait.
So you're saying Bryant?
Wait. You said Browns wide receivers first.
I just meant I meant Dwayne Bowe and
Andrew Hawkins.
Bowe and Hartline. That's fine. Okay. That's legit.
You know, Hartline's not even a lock to start for that team.
I'll go Bowe and Hartline first to 1,100. Come on.
All right.
You know what? Who's in the running to be the number two?
I just think you should just go March to 1,100, Martavis Bryant. It went so well last year.
Yeah, but I feel like
you're
that's
making
easy.
It too complicated.
I feel like that's what I'm saying.
I feel like, that's
I feel
too
like
easy,
Martavis
though.
Bryant to 1,100 is almost too easy.
He had like 800.
Am I right in saying
like 800
that?
800 or whatever last year.
Yeah, and no, I think that's too easy.
That's what I was saying. Because here's the thing. In 10 games, he had 550.
550, that's right.
So he'd have to he literally has to double that.
It's true.
I still say
I think it's doable, but I think it's doable.
I still say just do the one player, but I'm not the one who's going to have to wear
all
my
right,
heels.
All right. I tell
why
you
don't
what.
You just
I tell
say,
you what.
Here,
why don't I do this?
To cover yourself for Hartline not making it, just say Martavis Bryant versus the top two wide receivers on the Browns at any given time.
I'm almost with Fabs on this because, you know what? Unfortunately, we got to do this thing for television too, right?
So then we have to do graphics.
It's going
to
be too much. Graphically speaking.
Yeah, just do Martavis
Bryant. All right, we're going Martavis Bryant, March to 1,100, straight up. Oh, this is the other thing. By week 15, because I can't do it by season's end, because by season's end, there's no payout. You know what I'm saying? There's no payoff. No one's wearing heels.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
All right.
So by week 15, March to 1,100, lock it up. Let's do it.
All right.
Cool.
We're on.
Okay. Beautiful.
I love it. All right. That's it for the top headlines. I know we took a little bit of time there, but that's okay.
A lot of news today.
Lots of news today.
Good Lord. Let's talk about the PPR mock results. We just did a PPR mock draft last week. Had a blast. It was my first mock draft of the year. So I had a ton of fun from that. Alex, I know you're going to be writing a big write-up on this.
It's
Is
up.
It out already?
It's up.
Okay, NFL.com/fantasy. And, of course, go to the website, NFL.com/fantasy. Sign up today. To do mock drafts, to sign up your league, just do everything you want to do fantasy-related, NFL.com/fantasy. We got a draft kit up there as well. Alex Gelhar has this great little piece on how the mock draft played itself out.
Actually, Marcus and I do a little back-and-forth banter
between
the rounds.
Yes, absolutely.
I
love it.
Picks.
What did you see there? What are the trends you saw there, guys?
One, I was surprised that there was only one wide receiver in the first round. I really thought there'd be more. I mean, I knew it was going to be running backs at the top. That's usually how it goes. Not a surprise there.
Le'Veon Bell, number one overall pick.
A little bit of a surprise, but not terribly. And obviously, this was before
the news came out.
About his suspension being reduced. But the fact that Antonio Brown was the only wide receiver in the first round,
right. That
one caught me by surprise a little bit.
Gelhar, you got a steal, bro. You got Eddie Lacy late in the first.
I did. I got Eddie Lacy at number 7, which I was happy to get because he, you know, was going to get 40 or 50 catches in that Green Bay offense. And like I said, he's got a safe floor otherwise. It's PPR, so it pushes pass catchers up the board. However, like a lot of these top backs are also good pass catchers.
Right.
So I think all of the drafters, for the most part, did not want to miss out on one of those guys. You look at the ones that all went in the first round. Even Lynch last year caught like 30-some passes.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, that's like a career year for him.
Yeah.
You got to think he's going to drop back a little bit in terms
right.
of the number of passes caught. But Marcus Grant took Jamal Charles, number 3 overall. I took Aaron Rodgers. I told y'all I'm going to do it.
Of course.
Number 9.
Number 9, Aaron Rodgers in the first round. Obviously the first
quarterback
off.
Who did your running backs end up being?
C.J. Anderson.
Which ones?
Okay. And then litany of upside guys.
You got Jay Stu in the 6th, which was a good pick. But then, David Johnson of Arizona, Tevin Coleman, Niall Davis, LeGarrette Blount, Jerick McKinnon.
There's some decent ones in there.
Somebody's got to pan out, right? Somebody.
Well, luckily you don't have to play the league out, so.
Yes.
There is that.
A very good point.
But it is a good example of here's what you could end up with.
After the first two rounds, I was so excited. I had the number 9 pick. And I told y'all I was going to do this. Aaron Rodgers, number 9, the turnaround pick, I got C.J. Anderson. I thought my all-Cal team was starting to formulate quite nicely. Then someone was a jerk and took Justin Forsett.
That would be Matt Harmon.
What a jerk.
Which, bring us back, was interesting. In the PPR league, Harmon opened it up. He had the number 1 pick. He took Le'Veon Bell to start and coming back around at the turn.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray fell there, which
how
is just
he
amazing.
Fell at 20
insane value.
Insane value.
And then
love it.
There were a lot of great wide receivers left. Randall Cobb, A.J. Green, Mike Evans, Jeffrey.
That's
Hopkins.
What I'm saying.
But Harmon took an interesting strategy and grabbed Justin Forsett, who should get a ton of receptions.
That's
in
a terrible strategy. Why would you do that?
And now he's got.
He just maxed. He took a Cal guy.
Of course. I was like, oh, Justin Forsett's falling to the end.
It seems counterintuitive in a PPR league, but however, he's got 2 starting running backs and a good flex spot. And if DeMarco Murray gets injured or he can start Forsett with Le'Veon Bell's on his suspension. It was interesting, but it worked out well for him.
All right, so here's Fabiano's team. It's Arian Foster. He had the 1, 2, 3, 4 fifth overall pick. So Arian Foster. Demaryius Thomas, Mike Evans, Andre Ellington. That's your 1, 2, 3, 4. Upside guys, TJ Yeldon, Amir Abdullah.
Boom.
I like it. And again, keeping with his late quarterback theme.
Oh, and look at who
round
I stole.
10. Cam Newton, round 10. Tom Brady, round 11.
Boom.
There you go.
That's why you do it.
I like it. He ended up with Steven Hauschka, obviously one of the top 2 or 3 kickers in the game in round 14. Defense Broncos, but who cares? right. Marcus Grant.
Well,
did
you
like your team?
I was going to say, we just ran over Fab's team.
Oh, Fab's, you like that?
Your team? How'd you feel going through the draft?
I know one thing, that Andre Ellington in the several mock drafts that I've done already, I've almost always gotten him because I feel like people are overlooking him in a PPR league.
4th round.
This is a guy who can catch 50 passes out of the backfield. He was a top 25 running back last year, and he missed time due to injuries.
And he was always David Johnson, out of that lineup.
I know David Johnson is in the mix there, but if you look, Bruce Arians, you know, he likes to use one running back. He's not going to use a complete committee there. So Ellington's bulked up a little bit during the offseason. So
if he can stay healthy, man,
he's one of the guys that could be a pretty good bargain, but my strategy doesn't really change. I go after the running backs and the wide receivers early. Mike Evans and Demaryius Thomas, I mean, as a 1-2 punch, 2 of the top 10 wide receivers in fantasy football last year in my starting lineup.
Like so, I said, I'm not touching Arian Foster.
You know what?
There's just no
why?
Way.
What is wrong with Arian Foster? All he's ever been is great.
The age, the injuries, man, it's starting to catch up. I just don't believe it.
He was
Foster.
A top 5 running back last year and missed 3 games.
I hear you.
How is that catching up to him?
I absolutely hear you. But the problem with running backs is that they fall off of a cliff, man.
You know what? Why don't you go tell that to Frank Gore?
And Marshawn Lynch.
And
Adrian Peterson.
Thrilled.
It doesn't always happen.
To get
it doesn't always happen.
In round 4. I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but I love this lineup that I got.
Go.
Eddie Lacy in the first round, like I said, came around. I took Julio. The only wide receivers taken ahead of him were Brown, Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham, and then Julio. I think Julio could have a monster year in that Kyle Shanahan offense, especially in PPR, even if he doesn't maybe get his insane yardage total from last year. Easily get north of 100 receptions.
I think 100 catches, 1,500 and yards, and 8 or 9 touchdowns
speaking of 100 catch guys. Our boy, DeAndre Hopkins.
There he is.
Huge on him last year.
Duke!
Took him in the 3rd with all the targets gone from Johnson. Love that. Frank Gore in that offense. Everything is glowing about him. He is the ageless wonder. He's going to have the easiest rushing time of his career, not to mention being able to catch
all he's got to do is not get hurt.
And he should have a monster
and he'll have
year.
A really good year.
Especially, don't sleep on him in PPR, too, because the 49ers didn't throw him the ball.
Again,
he'll probably catch a lot of checkdowns from
I know that I am... I'm very preferential towards younger players.
Are you looking
There's
at? I was
no
wondering
way
if you
I'm taking Frank Gore in the 4th round.
I was
There's
wondering
no
if,
way.
If you were jumping to my next pick, though. You are noted.
Gellhart,
hating
I hate your team. I just realized. I hate your team. In the 4th round, you took Gore. In the 5th round, you took C.J. Spiller, son.
Darn right I did.
Oh, what are you doing?
Marks and I were talking about this. Okay. Backs like Spiller shoot up draft boards in PPR.
Absolutely.
In a standard league, I think I would look askew at him if he took C.J. Spiller in the 5th round. But here in the PPR league, it's a great pick at number 47. I love that pick.
What is he doing? Is he going to get 50, 60 catches? What's he?
He might get 70, 80 catches in that offense.
Ooh. Absolutely.
Okay.
And then on down, I went for upside here, like we talk about later. Allen Robinson, guy I love. Martavis Bryant, I got him.
Yep.
Scooped up some pass-catching backs later. Like
by the way, a lot of folks have asked about Shane Vereen. Give me your projection. You drafted him. Give me a projection on Shane Vereen.
I don't know, I'd say he'd probably get around.
What's his role in that offense, and what do you see him doing?
You remember Dave Meggett?
Love Dave Meggett.
There you go.
He'll probably get, you know, anywhere from 700 to 1,000 total yards, and in a PPR, you'd figure he'll get maybe 40 or 50 catches in that offense, coming in on the third down work, other packages, two-minute drills. So it's a speculative ad. He's my, what, running back four or three or four?
I mean,
four,
to
I guess
get
three,
four Vereen as a three or a four in a PPR league is pretty good.
Yeah, right.
I agree.
You're doing pretty well there because
– and you've had a man crush on David Cobb for a while, so you drafted him.
Yep. I will reach for him all over the place.
There you go. All right, atta baby. How about you, Grant?
I love my squad. I do. I love my squad.
Jamal Charles, number three.
The Jamal Charles at number three was a tough call, not because I don't like Jamal Charles, but he was still there. Matt Forte was still there. I mean, there were still so many really good backs there that it was kind of hard. I went with Jamal Charles.
Andy Reid, running back, PPR.
Right.
Can't go
Rich
wrong.
Drafter problems right there.
Right, exactly. So I do think that I like that one. Came back around. Gronk falling in my lap at number 18.
That was a surprise.
I mean, that was a surprise, and it was hard to pass that one up. Even with Jimmy Garoppolo there, you know, as Gelhar mentioned earlier in this podcast, he's going to be smart enough to throw the ball to Gronk. If he knows nothing else, they're going to be like, hey, just throw the ball to Gronk, and you'll be fine. But after that, the one surprise, another surprise was Alfred Morris in the fifth for me, just because I didn't think he'd still be there. And I know he's not a PPR guy. He doesn't
catch
a lot of passes.
Yeah, that's where it comes out. Yeah.
But he's still so good.
Look back at his 3 years. He's still been a top 15 PPR player.
Yeah. And running back. He still gets a lot of carries. He gets a lot of yards. And even if he doesn't catch a ton of passes, he'll still produce.
I think that just speaks to the run on the pass catchers, though, because he was still only the RB19 in the fifth round. So that means in rounds 2 through 4 was when you just saw a load of wide receivers go.
You're right.
And you know what? I want to look this up, too, Marcus, because I want to make sure that I'm giving people out there the correct info. So last year, he was in the top, let's see, top 20. He wasn't in the top 15, but he was top 20 in PPR leagues. So this is not a guy who should be falling down that far just because, oh my gosh, he doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield. The previous 2 years, he's right in the same area. So he's an RB2 no matter what you do.
Right. No, I'm down with that.
I will say this though, Marcus. I'm going to call you out, pal.
Okay.
How dare you take Alfred Morris? And you didn't rep the yay? You passed on Latavius Murray? Really, bro?
Yeah, but
you got to rep the yay.
That was
what's wrong with
that
you,
was
son?
Actually a tough call because I did look at the two of them and I thought, yeah,
how
okay.
do you pass on Latavius? You're from the Bay Area, man.
Because track record. I mean, really was it? Really is what it came down to. It came down to track record, and Morris has a longer one than Latavius Murray. And
that's true.
But see, I followed it up by taking Amari Cooper.
Okay.
So
okay,
that's okay.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, I Drew Brees falling to the seventh round
again
surprises me.
Amazing.
You know, getting
you
John
know
Brown.
You're in an experts league when Drew Brees falls to the seventh round.
I think that was still a shock, even in this league, it's a shock.
I was going to take him, too, if you didn't grab him.
Yeah, it's like the running joke in these mocks is that everybody sees Drew slipping and is like, shh.
I
tell anybody else Drew Brees is slipping.
I took a couple of later flyers. I got Dorial Green-Beckham in the 10th, which could potentially pan out. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Then you went back to the EA.
I did. I
Reggie Bush.
I had a little Trojan trio here.
Oh, that's right. About that.
Sir Reginald Alfred Bush II, followed by Buck Allen. Which I think I'm drinking your Kool-Aid there,
James Coe, after you
were so big on Buck Allen. The Carson Palmer wasn't really planned. It just sort of happened. But
you went Reggie Bush, Buck Allen, and Carson Palmer.
All in a row.
Where did you go to school,
Marcus?
Cal State Northridge.
That is fabulous.
Not true.
But on the whole, I like the squad. I like the mixture of what I think are proven guys versus the upside I get there.
I didn't realize that you took more SC guys than I took Cal guys.
Yep.
I didn't realize that.
Well,
that's interesting.
I need to leave.
All right,
I gotta
pal.
Go do TA.
All right. Here he goes.
Enjoy and make sure
Michael Fabiano.
I'll mention you.
We'll get your daily dap in.
Yeah.
There you go.
Crooked
I
news.
Like it. Let's take a look at my squad real quick. Aaron Rodgers, CJ Anderson, 1-2. So I thought I was through the moon, man. I was like, "Hey, the quarterback, Cal player guy. I'm just gonna go for it. I'm going for it." And then round 3 came around. For some reason, I took Jimmy Graham. I don't know why.
It's kind of where your draft went off the rails.
I don't know why.
You were like rocking back and forth on it because you had some great picks and then some questionable ones.
Oh,
we were all wondering.
A ton of questionable ones.
Were your pain pills hitting in around round nine when you took Jalen Strong?
Let's get to the crux of the issue here. Okay. That we're talking about a PPR draft.
Yeah.
And you have three wide receivers.
I have three wide receivers.
What did you learn, James?
Total.
What did you learn?
Tell the people how many running backs I have on my squad.
All of them?
Six?
I have seven.
You have seven
running backs. A two quarterback. I have three wide receivers in a PPR.
Oh God, you do
That's
have seven.
How winning is done.
Makes no sense. Jimmy Graham, that pick in the third round threw off my entire draft. And this happens in real life, man.
Yeah.
You know, you get that one bad pick, and you're playing catch up
for the next
three or four rounds.
Why you mock?
Exactly. NFL.com/fantasy. Go do the mocks right now. What I should have done, and what I was thinking of right there, was take Emmanuel Sanders,
who went one pick after.
He went one pick after. I tried to stretch that pick. That's my bad.
Yep.
So instead, I went Brandon Cooks. So if I went Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Anderson, Emmanuel Sanders, then Brandon Cooks, I'm actually looking pretty dang solid through four.
You could have scooped up any number of tight ends late.
Tyler
Eifert went in 11. Ertz went in 12.
Nope. See, you're messing up my Cal drafting strategy. I'm going Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers
is always going to be there.
Right.
He's going to be there in the 15th.
How could I forget?
I'll take Richard Rodgers in the 50th. So I messed it up.
All right.
So I apologize. Anyways, that's the hey, I will say this. Big props to our producer, Haitham Kalani, man.
Good team.
Holy.
We mentioned that in the rundown.
Wow. Adrian Peterson, number two. He followed that up with Calvin Johnson, Andrew Luck in the third.
I said in the write-up that he has a chance to have the top scoring player at every main position.
He has Adrian Peterson, Calvin Johnson, Andrew Luck, Lamar Miller, Melvin Gordon. That's his top five picks. And you can mess up every pick beyond then, and you're still going to be competitive.
But he followed that with Jarvis Landry.
He got Darren McFadden in the eighth, who, if he wins that backfield, that's great value.
I like it.
It was a good draft.
He really, to me, I think he won the draft.
Pick somebody outside of my own, I would probably pick his as well.
Yeah. He's got, I mean, you talk about floors, Gelhar. This guy's floor in terms of his team. I mean, his floor is awfully high.
Which, by the way,
big ups to Haitham Kalani.
You gave me a hard time about having, you know, three Trojans on my roster.
Yeah.
I was going to take Nelson Agholor had Haitham not picked him one spot ahead of me in the ninth round. So there's that.
There's that. Because even I only took three Cal guys. I took Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Anderson, and DeSean Jackson. I really wanted Justin Forsett and Richard Rodgers somewhere in the mix as well, but oh well. Anyways, that was our PPR mock. You can find that on NFL.com/fantasy. All right, let's get to the mailbag. Let's get to it.
Get that sandwich out of your pie hole and listen up, maggot. It's time for mail call.
Yeah, baby.
Zach Wood at ZWood20 asks, who do y'all predict to have a better season? By the way, he did say y'all, so I'm not just throwing out my fake Texas accent right now. But who do y'all predict to have a better season, Eli Manning or Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan last year, QB6. Eli Manning, QB9. But who has a better year this year?
I'm going with Matt Ryan. I think what they have in that offense, I feel a little more comfortable with the Falcons offense than I do with the Giants offense.
They're so much more dynamic in the backfield now. No disrespect to Steven Jackson, but he was at that point in his career
more of a
plotting type dude. They've got two guys now back there, Devontae Freeman and my boy Tevin Coleman, that could just absolutely explode. So you're right. I do like that. But Eli Manning, man, he's getting that. That groove back.
He's sneaky good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He is sneaky good.
I just wanted to double check, but I do have Eli Manning higher than Matt Ryan in my rankings, and I'll throw out a good stat from Matt Harmon's piece.
Okay.
He wrote, he's talking sophomore receivers. You can read them all, NFL.com/fantasy. Eli Manning with Odell Beckham in the lineup improved his touchdowns per game, yards per game, fantasy points per game, and dropped his interceptions per game by a wide margin.
It's funny how that happens.
When you have a great player. and the last time,
it's funny how that happens.
Looking ahead, we're hearing good things about Victor Cruz coming back. I mean, if Prince Amukamara is to be believed that he looks
fast as ever.
Right. Smoke is everywhere on that one. However, if Cruz comes back and is moderately healthy, the last time Eli had a 1-2 punch on the level of Odell Beckham and Cruz was when he had Cruz and Knicks in 2011. He was the QB6 that year.
He's
a quarterback I'm going to take late in a lot of drafts and other things like MFL10s and stuff like that. I just like his potential in that retooled offense, second season under Ben McAdoo. Ryan's learning a new system now. Granted, it's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm going to take – I think we know more what Ryan is, and I think Eli might have a little higher ceiling.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I like it there. All right, Lewis Phillips asks, and his Twitter handle is RJL Phillips. Hi, guys. How do you feel about Sam Bradford as a second QB to pick up late in fantasy drafts? Where is he going in mocks currently? Thanks.
I mean, sure. Late. Yeah. My fantasy draft.
He didn't get drafted in our league, did he?
He did not.
Yeah.
You know, I just think there's so many questions about Bradford with a new team. He's coming back off, you know, a couple of knee surgeries.
Okay.
You know, there's
but that offense, man.
There's a lot of upside there. There is plenty of upside there with Sam Bradford. It's just, you know, how confident are you that he's going to be there for you? Now, I guess the good thing is you're taking him late.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you're not expecting him to be your starter week in and week out. But I don't know. I feel like with so many quarterbacks out there, we talk every week about how deep the position is.
Yeah.
I think going after a guy like Sam Bradford with so many question marks is kind of a concern. And for the record, by the way, he's going in the 15th round.
Yeah, I looked behind Nick Foles, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Colin Kaepernick, and Jay Cutler.
That's interesting.
I would take him above all those guys personally, even though, like you said, there's a lot of questions. Those are all questions we should get answered.
I don't know if I take him above Cutler.
I would. But we can get into that later. Anyways, I was going to say, like, as a second quarterback, heck yeah. He's going around 15.
That's
would reach a little. I haven't taken him in any of our mocks because we only go 15 rounds.
Right.
I usually just grab one quarterback.
Yeah.
But if I'm in a league where I'm going to grab two quarterbacks or I have a little bit more depth on my roster, heck yeah, I'll grab Brad.
12-team league, for sure. This guy's going off the board. And as he should, to me, for a guy, if he's going to be the quarterback on your bench and you're looking for upside. And in drafts, I'll say this, I've said it a million times. In drafts, that's all you should be looking for. You should look for value. You should look for upside. Taking a guy like Victor Cruz in the 12th round makes absolutely zero sense. Don't do it. Now that being said, Sam Bradford, for a guy who is going to be most people's not a starter, he's got tremendous upside.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about it, actually, like we were talking about Fabs, getting a different quarterback late and doing Tom Brady, week one, he plays the Falcons in the Georgia Dome.
That's interesting.
So on a fast track against
By the way, he would be a rough secondary. He'd be a tremendous pick week one in daily fantasy.
Yes.
Tremendous pick.
He's cheap right now, too. FanDuel released their prices. DraftKings should come out soon. But if you're going to try and stream quarterbacks and wait for Brady or do something else like that, Sam Bradford could be a great option.
I mean, can I just say this? Mark Sanchez.
Right.
Mark Sanchez, folks. I mean, Chip Kelly, the reclamation of Mark Sanchez as a viable fantasy starter. That is that's crazy.
Okay, now
what is he going to do with Sam Bradford?
He's a viable fantasy starter for a handful of weeks there.
Well, he only started a handful of weeks.
I mean, there was the Thanksgiving Day destruction of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other games in there, but yeah.
Are we really surprised he didn't play that well against the Seahawks? No. Come on.
Yeah, no, I got you. All right, we move on. Alexander at Alex Boast 23. Ask you specifically, Marcus Grant, Justin Forsett or Alfred Morris? Who's a better RB2 for PPR?
Well, considering I drafted Alfred Morris and not Justin Forsett in our PPR mock draft, I guess that answers that question.
You drafted him two rounds later than Forsett went, though.
Very good point. Details. But, yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Justin Forsett is in Baltimore. Mark Trestman's down there now.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what Mark Trestman did in Chicago. Boosting Matt Forte's value, especially in a PPR league. But do you think that success translates from Chicago to Baltimore?
I don't know if they have a back necessarily there that's like Matt Forte. I mean, I think
What are you hating on Justin Forsett for?
No, I mean, I like Justin Forsett. I don't know that Justin Forsett is the kind of pass-catching running back that we saw with Matt Forte. I mean, I think he's a very good back.
He had
no problem.
45 or 50 receptions last year.
It's not like 100 and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get targeted as much. I love it. I'd say Justin Forsett all the way.
All day. All day.
In four of Trestman's last 5 years as an NFL OC, throughout 2003, it was too tough to tell, but his running backs have averaged like just about 5.3 receptions a game.
That's amazing.
The last 2 years with Forte and then with Charlie Garner in 2002 in Oakland, and I think it was Michael Pittman in 2000.
So going back even that far, his running back caught
because he took his jump where he was in the CFL and stuff, but his NFL offense is 5.3 receptions.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I like it.
Forsett all the way.
Forsett all the way. And I will say this. I've been tooting this guy's horn all offseason. But Javoris Allen, Buck Allen, if you take Justin Forsett, just Do yourself a favor. I really believe in Buck Allen's talent and his running style. And people say, oh, maybe he can't catch. He can catch, man. I saw a lot of USC games last year, mostly destroying Cal. That's fine. But but Javoris Allen, he can play, man. And if you have Justin Forsett, I'm just saying, insure that pick with a Buck Allen pick later in drafts. All right, last question out of the mailbag. Kevin White, Mike Wallace. This is from Aaron Herrera, at Aaron underscore 5. Yes, Adam Rank. Adam Rank's not even here, man. Mike Wallace, 850 yards. I was shocked by this. He had 10 touchdowns last year.
Yep.
10 touchdowns. Kevin White or Mike Wallace?
You want to start?
I mean, I've already said I'm on the record of saying that Kevin White's on my ride or die team. So, I mean, I guess that kind of makes him my guy.
I
do think Mike Wallace is going to be I can't say better because he did have the 10 touchdowns, but I think he'll be more consistently productive, I guess is a better way to describe it, because I think he's in a better situation. And I've read stuff from him in the last week or so saying that he knows he needs to get better on the field, be a better player, be a better teammate, et cetera.
Am I inaccurate in saying that I thought I had read that Mike Wallace was working out with Teddy Bridgewater in
the
offseason?
Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I do think he's in a better situation. I think what Bridgewater brings are more suited to Wallace's skills than what he had with Ryan Tannehill down there in Miami. So I think he will be better. But like I said, I'm all in on Kevin White this year. I really am.
Tough to be better than 10
touchdowns. It's also Mike Wallace. Everybody always wants to win the breakup. So you know Mike Wallace is going to be motivated this year to show the Dolphins what they cast aside.
Interesting.
Right now their ADPs, Kevin White's round 8, Mike Wallace round 13. I'd definitely rather take Wallace at that price than Kevin White in round 8. I'm a little worried. Everybody always talks about John Fox, and I've even said it, I think, too, not using his rookie wide receivers as much. It's all over the board. I got to do a little more research and compile this all these numbers. But there were three instances in his last six or seven rookie wide receivers where they had almost 70 targets each. So he has used them before. However, with Eddie Royal there, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett.
Right.
Just get a little more worried that in the passing game, Kevin White's going to eat right away, and especially at the round 13 price range, I like Wallace there.
Yeah, that's a hefty price tag for Kevin White. I mean, I get it.
He's Mike Evans.
I get it. I just don't want to pay that price to get him. If I could get him in round 12 and get that upside, I'd do it all day.
What if I told you? What if I told you that he could give you Mike Evans' numbers? You would pay an 8th round price for this guy.
NFL Fantasy Presents.
Exactly.
All right. And by the way, you can do mock drafts right now, NFL.com/fantasy. All right. It is time for a new segment. It's called Your Daily Dose of Daps.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is the daily. Daps and hugs.
Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up daps about daps.
All right, daily dap. This is what it is.
Wait, did you edit that? Did you cut that yourself?
I cut that myself.
With your one hand and everything.
Wow.
Awesome.
I'm going to give you a dap.
Seriously.
That was wow. I was just I did extra read all about it, and then it went.
Absolutely. Daily daps, man. So I want the podcast listeners, if you want to get your daily dap on the podcast, by all means, just use the hashtag at tweet us and use the hashtag daily daps.
D-A-P-S.
And it's basically just props, man.
Yeah,
so
man.
It's our weekly props of the week. I think that was redundant, but that's fine. Props of the week. And we'll start with you, Marcus Grant. Who are you giving your daily dap to?
Well, I'm giving a shout out to the folks at Reddit. I know that Reddit is maligned sometimes for good reason.
Yes.
There are some folks who are not so nice there. But this is a little piece of gold. I mean, we have all been, or at least most of us, watching True Detective, suffering through it as a group, the second season of True Detective. It hasn't really been good, but it has been amusing in its own special way, mostly because of Frank Simeon, the character played by Vince Vaughn, who has some just awful, terrible, terrible lines to say in pretty much every episode. And it's gotten to the point now that some folks on Reddit have created a subreddit where you can just make up fake Frank Simeon lines. So
solid.
They're so good.
I've got a few of them here to read. Some of them are NSFW, but I'll give you the ones that I can read on this podcast without getting us in trouble.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my best Vince Vaughn. It's not very good, but I'll give you my best Vince Vaughn anyway.
I wish we had a laugh track for this.
No, we don't. We don't.
No, you don't.
Let it be.
You think you can just put your foot through the door and head straight for the ice cream buffet? Well, guess what? They only have mango. And I'll tell you what. If you're that naive to expect life to just hand you some rocky road like that, like it ain't nothing, then you deserve every bit of that mango. my next one.
That's pretty good, Marcus Grant.
My next one.
That is pretty good, man.
life's like a box of chocolate. Well, guess what, Ray? I'm a dog. I'll die if I eat chocolate. Casper knew this. And then the last one. Here's the one that was kind of the consensus favorites among the fantasy editorial staff.
That's a plus one right there.
The one that was the consensus favorite among the fantasy editorial staff.
Oh.
Some people say it's not the size of the boat, but rather the motion of the ocean. Well, guess what, Ray? I can't even swim. Never even had a bath.
Your deliveries.
Oh God, that's
solid.
I'm guessing he
worked
on that.
How do we follow that?
Well,
up?
Here's what I'll do. I'll buffer my daily dap by throwing in Fabs, because he had to leave. Fabs wanted to give a daily our daily dap to John Cena, who last night on Monday Night Raw
performed
got his nose broken into all sorts of ways and directions and was bleeding everywhere and still finished the match. And I think he said one. So Fab's big WWE fan wanted to give his daily dap to John Cena. Mine I'm going to give to a film I saw over the weekend, Love and Mercy.
Nice.
It is the indie movie that profiles Brian Wilson, the genius behind all of the best Beach Boys hits, and his struggles with his genius and addictions, and then how he was also manipulated later in life by people that were trying to take advantage of him. It sheds a lot of light on a story, angles I didn't even know, and it gave me a new appreciation for the Beach Boys.
Name of the movie.
Love and Mercy.
Love and Mercy.
Got Paul Dano, John Cusack, Elizabeth Banks, Paul Giamatti. Check it out if you can. It might be out of theaters soon, but hopefully to a red box near you.
And Kevin Love plays himself.
Yes. He's just kind of always in the background shooting hoops. Like when they're at the beach shooting Beach Boy videos, Kevin Love's just in there working on his mid-range.
Oh, he's the killer in Too Many Cooks. That's what he is. He's just always in the background.
He's just always hanging around there.
All right. All right, cool.
Co, the creator, what's your
daily dap, man? You know, it's funny. I came up with the idea. I didn't really have like a timely one, but I will say this. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in recovery. And it's afforded me an opportunity to listen to a lot of my music again. So that's been cool. And I got to say, you know, this was probably inspired by the Cleveland loss in the NBA Finals, but I've been listening to a lot of Machine Gun Kelly. I forgot about some of his earlier works, and so my daily dap goes out to MGK. Some of his early mixtape stuff, man. It was really, really, really good. And so, yeah, I've been listening to him for a long time, and he's helped me a little bit in my recovery. So there you go. I'll give my daily dap to MGK. We got a lot of social stuff going out there. I like it, man. This is good. And again, tweet us and hit us with that hashtag daily daps, and we will get your daily dap on the air. For Marcus Grant and the Whiz Kid, Alex Galehar, I'm James Coe. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We'll catch you next week.